Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 9th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
negotiations on a bipartisan infrastructure deal break down.
The Senate passes a bill to boost competition with China.
President Biden and EU leaders lay plans to end outstanding trade battles.
And the U.S. eases travel warnings to dozens of countries.
New Jersey's corrections commissioner has announced his resignation, and it is a blow for Trump supporters as Cittarelli wins the GOP nomination in New Jersey. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A Yankee win in Minnesota, a Met loss in Baltimore, and the Islanders have game six with the Bruins tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are a little changed this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2.5 points, Dow futures down 12, NASDAQ futures are up about 20. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.50%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33%, or 27 cents at $70.32 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.2%, or $3 at $18.91.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.2189 against the dollar. And the yen is at 109.46. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in the nation's capital, where it looks like negotiations on infrastructure have fallen apart. A final day of talks before President Biden's trip to Europe yielded no breakthrough. Ann Cates has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Direct talks with the lead Republican negotiator have ended, increasing the likelihood that Democrats will pursue a sweeping multi-trillion dollar infrastructure package on their own. Negotiations between the president and GOP Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia ceased with a phone call after almost 4 weeks of efforts failed to bridge differences over both spending and funding. A group of Republican and Democratic lawmakers are working on an alternative compromise, and President Biden plans to engage with them even during his first overseas trip. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ann. Geopolitics is also front and center on Capitol Hill. The Senate has overwhelmingly passed a bill focused on competition with China. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The bill will invest almost $250 billion in boosting U.S. manufacturing and technology, all to meet the economic and strategic challenge from China. It's aimed at increasing research and development at institutions and expanding domestic production of semiconductors during a chip shortage. Yesterday's vote was a rare spot of bipartisanship in a divided Senate. It showed the concern in both political parties that the U.S. risks falling behind its biggest global competitor. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Now, when it comes to the pandemic, the U.S. and the European Union are set to back a new push to investigate the origins of COVID-19. The move comes after conflicting assessments about how the outbreak started. According to a document seen by Bloomberg News, the countries will call for progress on a transparent, evidence-based, and expert-led WHO Phase 2 study on the origins of the virus that is free from interference.
Meantime, the U.S. is on pace to fall short of President Biden's goal to have 70% of Americans vaccinated by July 4th. Still, the administration insists that missing that goal will have little effect on the recovery from the virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci continues to push for people to get shots.
If you had your first dose, make sure you get that second dose. And for those who have been not vaccinated yet, please get vaccinated.
Dr. Fauci says so far 14 states have reached 70% coverage among adults, with about a dozen more on pace to reach that milestone by July 4th.
Well, as vaccination rates climb, the U.S. is easing travel advisories for dozens of nations, including the host of the Olympics, Japan. Other countries the State Department's lowered travel advisories for include France, Germany, Canada, Mexico, and South Korea, along with dozens of other nations.
President Biden travels overseas today. For his first time since taking office, he's casting the three-nation tour in sweeping terms, pitting the West against China as the world emerges from the pandemic. His first stop will be the UK for the Group of Seven summit. Then it's off to Brussels for meetings with NATO and European leaders. And the trip ends next week with a face-to-face with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva.
As part of those meetings in Europe, President Biden and EU leaders will commit to ending outstanding trade battles. And we get the story from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing in London.
According to a draft of conclusions seen by Bloomberg News, the two sides will promise to remove tariffs related to a steel and aluminium conflict before the end of the year. They'll also agree to resolve a dispute involving Airbus and Boeing that's lasted for almost two decades. That dispute came to a head under the Trump administration and contributed to an $18 billion tariff fight. The EU-US summit takes place in Brussels next Tuesday. In London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Roger. Turning to the global economy now, concerns over inflation are in focus yet again. Data overnight shows China's producer prices at their highest level since 2008. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
The PPI spiked 9% in May from last year, with surging commodity prices the main culprit. The estimate, 8.5%. Still, this will certainly increase concerns about global price pressures. Domestically, producers were unable to pass the prices on. The CPI gained just 1.3%, suggesting demand is still weak. Policymakers have cracked down on speculation and hoarding, but it's unlikely the PBOC will act as it sees inflationary pressures as transitory. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Turning to markets now, strategists warn another bad week for Bitcoin could be a precursor to more pain. The world's largest cryptocurrency is down about 10% this month and at a little more than half the level it was in April. Several analysts say dropping below 30,000 could lead to another dive to as low as 20,000. Right now, Bitcoin's at $34,150.
And on the earnings front, GameStop reports first quarter results after the bell. Reddit investors who drove shares to an all-time high in January are still promoting the stock, which is up almost 1,500% this year, despite a turnaround that remains in its early stages. GameStop shares have moved an average of 17% in the session following earnings over the past eight quarters. And GameStop shares are higher this morning, up 3.33% in the pre-market. S&P futures are up 3 points this morning. Dow futures down 7. NASDAQ futures up 22 and the 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.50%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street, Amy Morris has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey's embattled corrections commissioner has announced his resignation a day after Governor Phil Murphy said the state would shutter its long-troubled and only women's prison. Marcus Hicks has handed in his resignation and says he will leave office June 18th. Jack Titterelli has won the Republican nomination for governor in New Jersey's primary. He will go on to face Democratic incumbent Governor Murphy in November's election. Titterelli's victory is also seen as a blow for supporters of former President Trump. State health officials are worried about whether Johnson & Johnson vaccine doses expire this month. The New York Times reports a White House advisor says governors need to consult with the Food and Drug Administration on storage procedures. This as Stony Brook Hospital is accepting applications for its study on the Pfizer vaccine in children. Dr. Sharon Nachman is looking for parents to sign up their kids.
Not only going to see what works, but we're also going to see how much reaction there is to those vaccines.
Children need to be under the age of 12 and as young as 6 months old to take part in the medical trial. Uber and Lyft's efforts to reach a compromise with lawmakers in New York suffered a setback this week. A state senator scrapped plans to introduce a gig work bill this year that would have offered workers union representation without making them employees. MTA is overhauling its leadership. Jenna Lieber, who oversees the agency's capital spending program, will be appointed as chief executive officer. Sarah Feinberg, who manages the MTA's subways and buses, will be nominated to chair the agency's board and will be the first woman to head that panel. During her two-day migration trip, Vice President Kamala Harris talked about economic and security issues like gun smuggling, drug trafficking, and jobs. But her focus was to learn why so many people risk so much just to come to the U.S.
It can be a very treacherous and dangerous trek. I don't take that lightly, but the reality of it is that we have to address the root causes.
Vice President Kamala Harris says she'll visit the U.S. southern border, deflecting Republican criticism after meeting with Mexico's president yesterday. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, Yankees having lost 8 of 10, having fallen to fourth place, needed a win in Minnesota, and after falling behind early, they got it 8-4, helped by four Twins errors. The Yanks had 14 hits. Everyone but Aaron Judge had at least one. Home runs in the ninth inning for Gary Sanchez and Miguel Andujar. Gerrit Cole starts tonight, roughed up his last time out, and Cole struggled yesterday to answer questions about allegations that he applies an illegal sticky paste to the ball to help the spin rate. Cole never denied it, implied he's doing what others have done before him.
There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players, and I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard.
Major League Baseball starting to check balls more often for evidence of the sticky pace. Long night for the Mets. They lost 10-3 at Baltimore. David Peterson gave up four runs, and then Robert Gzelman four more. NBA playoffs, Utah came from 14 down to win game one from the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell, 45 points for the Jazz. Philadelphia won game two from Atlanta. Joel Embiid scored 40. If not for injuries, Embiid might have been the NBA's MVP. The award instead went to Denver center Nikola Jokic, first ever second-round draft pick to win MVP. Stanley Cup playoffs, Tampa Bay has advanced to the conference finals. Vegas scored opening minute of overtime to win at Colorado. The Islanders lead the Bruins 3-2. It will be a very loud Nassau Coliseum for game six tonight. Quarterfinals at the French Open, Coco Gauff right now playing Barbara Krejcikova. Coco leads 6-5, first set. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, the NFL says it's going to fund research into opioid alternatives, including whether cannabis can effectively treat pain in elite athletes without doing them any potential harm. The league's executive vice president for player health and safety says they'll offer $1 million in grants for as many as five research proposals. He says the players have shown interest in cannabis as a pain medication. S&P futures up 2 points. Dow futures down 13 points. NASDAQ futures up 21 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny today, some scattered showers and storms possible near 90 degrees. Will be less humid tomorrow, low 80s, mostly cloudy Friday, few more showers possible with a high only near 70, currently 72.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and the dollar is slipping. Treasury yields moving lower as investors await tomorrow's inflation report before gauging the direction of monetary policy. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures are little changed, up about 2 points. Dow futures down 25. NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.5% now. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.50%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.25% or 19 cents at $70.24 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $2.20 at $18.92.10 an ounce. The euro 1.2192 against the dollar. British pound 1.4180. The yen 109.44. And Bitcoin is at $34,171 this morning. Today we are watching for a report on wholesale inventories. It's out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe wants another shot at the office. He has won the Democratic Party's nomination in his quest for a second term. He'll go on to face GOP nominee and political newcomer Glenn Youngkin in the November general election for Virginia governor. Virginia is the only state in the nation with an open race for governor this year, and this contest is expected to be closely watched as a barometer heading into the midterms. The FDA has approved a new version of a popular diabetes medication as a weight loss drug. The agency has signed off on the medication Wegovy to be used as a weight management drug in patients with obesity. In a trial, patients lost an average of more than 12% of their body weight. In sports, it's Game 6 tonight between the Islanders and the Bruins. New York leads that series 3-2. In the NBA playoffs, Philadelphia and Utah win. And in baseball, the O's beat the Mets, the Yankees and Giants win, the Red Sox and Nats lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we want to turn our focus now to the pandemic, with the U.S. and European Union leaders set to back a new push to investigate the origins of COVID-19 as President Biden heads overseas later today. Joining us live is Professor Andy Pekosh, Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Dr. Pekosh, it's always great to speak with you. And of course, there's been a lot of pressure on China for months, really, to be more forthcoming about what it knows or what it could potentially could know about how this pandemic started. How important is it to find out COVID's origins?
Yeah, it is incredibly important, because what we need to understand is how this virus moved from bats, where we think it's where we see all of its relatives present, into some other animal and then into humans. That's the pathway that pandemic viruses take to become more adapted to humans, to be able to infect humans. And understanding the precise way that that virus moved is going to tell us something about how likely it is that some more of these coronaviruses that are present in bats might be able to take that same pathway and cause another pandemic. You know, politics is getting involved in this, as well as science, and I think that's where some of these lines are getting very blurred and very gray. So it's unclear to me how much of this is really a political issue versus how much of this is really sort of based by solid science and wanting to investigate the origins of this virus.
So you put more stock then in the theory that the animal-to-human transmission is more likely than the so-called lab leak theory out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Yeah, I think me and many of my colleagues don't want to take anything off the table. But if we look at this really sort of objectively, the most likely scenario is that this moved directly from bats into some animal reservoir and then into humans. But again, we want to keep everything on the table. As scientists, we never want to sort of make assumptions or take things off the table without the data. But really, that's the most likely scenario that led to this pandemic, and we need to know more details about the specifics about how that happened.
Is there evidence that the Chinese government has kept evidence off the table when it comes to getting to the bottom of this?
Yeah, I think this is where the politics really comes into it. And, you know, some of the things that were done at the beginning of the pandemic in terms of getting rid of samples, in terms of changing priorities, you know, there's two ways you can look at that situation. One is you're responding to a pandemic by prioritizing things like cleaning up areas that could potentially be sources of virus, getting rid of frozen stocks of samples, which may or may not be useful, but are certainly taking up precious space. But all this can also be pulled through the lens of some sort of conspiracy theory. So I think, it's important to get past the politics and to the actual science here so that we can understand these origins.
Let's get to the pandemic itself. Obviously, we've seen case counts drop pretty dramatically down to levels comparable to early in the pandemic. At the same time, we're seeing vaccination rates kind of level off as well, particularly in southern states. What's your concern about whether a vaccination campaign is going to be able to continue at the level that we'd like to see?
Yeah, you know, what's happening now is, you know, we're taking away the social distancing and the public health interventions that were limiting case numbers. And we're essentially relying only on vaccination to really protect us from this virus. And in areas where vaccination rates are low, that means there's going to be a larger amount of susceptibles. And we're also benefiting right now from the reduced transmission that happens with this virus during the summer months. All of this is now setting up for a scenario in the fall where people start moving back inside, where I'm sure we won't have lots of restrictions when people go back to work and back to school. And so the vaccination that we do now is going to help us in the fall limit case numbers. And in places where we're not seeing vaccination, I expect that we'll set up a situation where we'll see a larger surge in the fall.
Just about 30 seconds left here. Do you think we'll meet that 70% goal by the 4th of July?
I think we'll squeak over the line. It'll be very, very close. And that's unfortunate, because these are fantastic vaccines. And I think, you know, it's really about more people understanding how great these vaccines really are and getting on board to use them.
Thank you, as always, Dr. Andy Pekosh, Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Get all the latest global news on the pandemic, VRUS Go, on the Bloomberg terminal or Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. S&P futures up a point, Dow futures down 27, NASDAQ futures up 21. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Make your giving organized and tax-efficient. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Biden's hopes for a bipartisan infrastructure deal appear to be dimming this morning. Direct talks have ended, increasing the likelihood that Democrats pursue a sweeping multi-trillion dollar package on their own. We get a reaction from Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn.
Maybe the president needs to let the House and Senate do their work and not try to evolve the definition of infrastructure to mean child care, elder care, beefing up support for unions, and these different components that had absolutely nothing to do with infrastructure.
Senator Blackburn and other Republicans are pushing for a smaller package than the White House wants. Meantime, new bipartisan talks are kicking off in the Senate, where a group of lawmakers are working on an alternative compromise.
Well, there is evidence of some bipartisan agreement on Capitol Hill. The Senate has overwhelmingly passed a bill focused on competition with China. We get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita?
Nathan, the bill will invest almost $250 billion in boosting U.S. manufacturing and technology. It's aimed at increasing research and development at institutions, and expanding domestic production of semiconductors during a global chip shortage. Now, yesterday's vote was a rare spot of bipartisanship in a divided Senate. It showed the concern in both political parties that the U.S. risks falling behind its biggest global competitor. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. The U.S. and EU are making a new push to investigate the origins of COVID-19. The move comes after conflicting assessments about how the outbreak started. According to a document seen by Bloomberg News, the countries will call for progress on a transparent, evidence-based, and expert-led WHO Phase 2 study on the origins of the virus.
And President Biden and European Union leaders will commit next week to ending outstanding trade battles. According to a draft seen by Bloomberg News, the two sides will promise to remove tariffs related to a steel and aluminum conflict before the end of the year. They'll also agree to resolve a dispute involving Airbus and Boeing that has lasted almost two decades.
Futures this morning, little changed. S&P futures up a point. Dow futures are down 32 and NASDAQ futures up 21 now. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.50%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's 6:33 on Wall Street. We bring in Amy Morris for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey Corrections Commissioner Marcus Hicks has resigned following a scathing report showing how his department repeatedly failed to stop abuse at the state's only women's prison. This just one day after Governor Phil Murphy said the state would close that facility. Hicks will leave June 18th. Former Republican Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli will challenge Democratic Governor Murphy in November. Cittarelli won the Republican nomination in the state's primary election, dealing a blow to his Republican challengers who are diehard Trump supporters. New York City's law department has been hit with a cyber attack. It's forced officials to take the 1,000-lawyer agency offline while they investigate. Mayor Bill de Blasio says he believes no information was compromised, and city officials are trying to figure out who was behind the hack. Hours after the Connecticut Senate narrowly approved a bill that would legalize the recreational use of marijuana, Republican lawmakers say the House needs to hold off from considering the bill. House Minority Leader Vincent Candelora says the closed-door process is tainted, noting how there was one provision included that would have given preferential treatment to a single marijuana grower.
The fact that that provision got in that bill to allow for one individual to profit off the state of Connecticut, I have to ask the governor, at what cost are you willing to legalize marijuana?
Vincent Candelora also questioning whether there's enough time to debate and pass that bill. Sarah Feinberg poised to become the first woman to chair New York's MTA. Feinberg most recently led New York City's transit during the coronavirus pandemic. She would replace Patrick Foy, the MTA's current chair and CEO. Jana Lieber is head of the MTA's construction and development, and he was appointed to serve as MTA's CEO. The Westminster Dog Show is being held in Westchester County this weekend. Westminster Kennel Club President Charlton Reynolds III says it's an appropriate setting.
Lyndhurst, one of the finest examples of 19th century Gothic revival architecture in America, is no stranger to dog shows. For three decades, local kennel clubs hosted dog shows on these park-like landscaped grounds.
This is the first time in more than a century the show won't be held in New York City. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Yankees and Mets both starting series on the road against two of the worst teams in the American League. Yanks got a win. The Mets did not. Yankees fell behind early, but maybe starting to finally get some hits. They had 11 in Sunday's loss to the Red Sox. 14 more hits last night. They beat the Twins 8-4. Jonathan Loaisiga got his fifth win in relief. In Baltimore, Pete Alonso homered in the first inning. Then again in the ninth. In between, the Orioles outscored the Mets 10-0. They won 10-3. The Orioles actually won 5 of 6 since losing 14 in a row. NBA playoff home wins for Philadelphia and Utah. Denver's Nikola Jokic named NBA MVP. Tampa Bay Lightning going for back-to-back Stanley Cups and into the conference finals. Vegas lost the first two games with Colorado, but has won the last three last night in overtime. Islanders and Bruins tonight, game 6 at the Coliseum, but the Isles up 3-2. Here was Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy after game 5, upset with the officiating and the Islanders.
They sell a narrative over there that it's more like the New York Saints, you know, not the New York Islanders. You know, they play hard and they play the right way, but I feel we're the same way. And the calls, the exact calls that are getting called on us, do not get called on them. So, and I don't know why.
The Islanders reached the conference finals last year, but tonight is the first time their fans can be in attendance to see them do it since they went in 1993. 17-year-old Coco Gauff, last American left at the French Open. She's playing right now. Her first career Grand Slam quarterfinal. She blew 5 set points, lost the first set to Barbara Krejcikova in a tiebreaker. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. And Dave, a lot of the names moving this morning are the same ones that are being talked about on social media once again.
Absolutely, Nathan. It's all about the meme stocks, or so it seems. A perfect example, ContextLogic. This is a company that owns the e-commerce site Wish.com. The shares rose yesterday by about 50%, their biggest gain ever. They're up another 30% in today's trading. Let's put that in context, though. ContextLogic had plunged as much as 69% after going public in December. So a bit of a comeback for that stock. Then you have the insurer Clover Health Investments. Those shares up yesterday by 86%, and they're up another 17% in today's trading. Looking over some of the other meme stocks, you know, yesterday we saw the restaurant chain Wendy's climb 26%. It's higher by just about 2% in early trading. The video game retailer GameStop also higher, up about 2.5%. Movie theater owner AMC Entertainment, though, down 5% in early trading.
Of course, we're waiting for GameStop to report earnings after the bell today, Dave. But what's happening outside Reddit?
Well, there's a company called UiPath. This is an automation software maker that delivered its first earnings report since going public. and the results weren't well received. UiPath down 6.5% in early trading. The company had a wider loss for the fiscal first quarter than it did a year ago, and those results followed a $1.3 billion initial public offering in April. You have Sherwin-Williams, which was down as much as 2% late yesterday. The paint maker's full-year earnings forecast failed to meet analysts' average estimate in a Bloomberg survey, even after being raised. United Parcel Service, UPS, is going to bear watching. The package delivery company disclosed three-year financial targets in advance of a conference with analysts and investors. Now, UPS is aiming for 2023 revenue of $100 billion, give or take $2 billion. That's pretty much in line with analysts' average estimate. UPS off 0.5% in early trading. We're also going to be getting results from the food maker Campbell Soup and distilled spirits maker Brown-Forman, among other products, Jack Daniel's whiskey. KLA's up 1.5%. The chip equipment maker was raised to buy from hold at Deutsche Bank. Fisker up 5%. The developer of electric vehicles received the equivalent of a buy rating and new coverage at RBC Capital Markets. And talking electric vehicles, you know, we got this filing late yesterday from Lordstown Motors. The electric truck developer disclosed it doesn't have enough cash to begin vehicle production and sales. You know, they said the shortfall raises doubt about their ability to continue as a going concern. And with all that, Nathan, Lordstown is actually higher by 1%.
Okay. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you for that. Lots going on in the pre-market, belying, I guess, some of the action that we're seeing as far as stocks as a whole go. S&P futures are up, but by just 1 point. Dow futures down 31. NASDAQ futures higher by 26 points. So the broader market sort of treading water this morning. 10-year Treasury's up 8/32. The yield now 1.50% on the 10-year note. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny, scattered showers and storms today going up to near 90 degrees. Low 80s, less humid tomorrow. High near 70 on Friday with a few more showers possible. Currently 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
It is 6:47 on Wall Street. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are little changed or mixed, and S&P futures up about 3.5 points right now. We have full details straight ahead from the First Word Breaking News Desk and Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures down 19 points. S&Ps are higher by 4, and NASDAQ rises by 36. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.5%. Gold is down 3, and Bitcoin gains 2.3%. While South Korea fell 1% overnight, and European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, wholesale inventories. And in other news, Robinhood is looking to go public in July. And people familiar said that Amazon is exploring partners to replace J.P. Morgan as the issuer of its credit card. Regarding earnings this morning, look for Brown-Forman and Campbell Soup to report in the pre-market. And wrapping things up, Coinbase got its first underperform rating over at Raymond James. Abercrombie & Fitch raised to buy at Jefferies. Dish was cut to underweight at J.P. Morgan. And Wendy's was cut to hold over at Stiefel. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, President Biden leaves today for the United Kingdom. It is the president's first overseas trip of his term as he tries to reassert the United States on the world stage. He set the stakes for the 8-day trip in sweeping terms, believing that the West must publicly demonstrate it can compete economically with China. The trip ends with a summit with Russia's Vladimir Putin. And the White House press plane was delayed for more than 6 hours thanks to cicadas. Reporters on board the plane say swarms of cicadas invaded exterior sections of the plane. Reporters had to be moved to a replacement aircraft that took about 6 hours, making it a true red-eye flight in more ways than one. In sports, it's Game 6 tonight between the Islanders and the Bruins. New York leads that series 3-2. In the NBA playoffs, Philadelphia and Utah win. And in baseball, the O's beat the Mets. The Yankees and Giants win, and the Red Sox and Nats lose.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Wall Street is dealing like it's 2007. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Never mind the return to normal, Wall Street's private equity shops are staging a return to abnormal. Leverage buyouts are happening at a speed and extravagance not seen since 2006 and 2007 in the run-up to the financial crisis. Private equity firms have already made $470 billion of acquisitions this year. That includes Blackstone's $10 billion deal for data center operator QTS Realty Trust. And if that headline didn't transport you back 14 years, this club deal announcement almost certainly will. Blackstone has also teamed up with Carlyle and Hellman & Friedman on a $34 billion LBO of medical supplier Medline Industries. At this rate, the value of private equity purchases in 2021 will surpass the total for all of 2020 in just a few weeks. This year might even break the 2007 record. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just about 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include the Senate passing a sweeping bill aimed at helping the U.S. compete with China. Vice President Harris promising a trip to the border as she focuses on the root causes of migration. And President Biden boosting Boris Johnson's agenda as he prepares to leave Washington and head to the G7 summit in the UK. Also making news, no bipartisan infrastructure deal. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us live with the latest on that and more from the nation's capital. All right, Emily, so what was it, about 4 weeks of talks between President Biden and Republican Shelley Moore Capito? Now that they've fallen apart, apparently, what comes next?
At this point, there are two different options that we're looking at. Number one is that.
All right, we seem to be having trouble with Emily's line. We'll try to reestablish that, bring you more from the nation's capital. In the minutes ahead, oh, we do have Emily Wilkins. Emily, can you hear me?
Hey, hi.
All right, well, tell us what comes next with infrastructure then.
Yes. So we kind of have two different options right now. Number one, Democrats just go it alone, but there is still a bipartisan group of Republicans and Democratic senators. So this doesn't have President Biden in it, but it is a group of senators that is trying to find their way to yes, trying to see if there's something they can do. They've met last night. We haven't seen a solid proposal from them at this point. There's also a bipartisan group that includes both senators as well as House members, a group called the Problem Solvers Caucus, that has come out with a $761.8 billion spending proposal. So we've got several different options that are on the table here. But at the same point, there are a growing number of Democrats who are saying, you know what, we just need to go ahead and get this done because all these numbers that we're seeing from Republicans are not nearly as big as we need them to be.
So the infrastructure fight isn't over yet. And in the meantime, I guess we are seeing some signs of bipartisanship when it comes to confronting China.
Yes, so the Senate yesterday did pass a big economic research and development package meant to sort of keep the U.S. competitive with China. This happened after a pretty lengthy debate with Republicans requesting a number of additional amendments. And the bill now heads to the House, where its future is a little more uncertain. Usually it's vice versa, but in this case, there are some concerns among lawmakers in the House about what the Senate has passed. So we might see further tweaks and changes to this bill.
Vice President Harris is back in Washington after 2 days in Guatemala and Mexico. But during that whirlwind trip, Emily, I guess she couldn't dodge many questions about why she hasn't visited the border since taking office.
Right. This trip for Vice President Harris was supposed to be really focusing on the root causes of immigration, going down there, meeting with leaders, trying to deliver a message to individuals there that if they were thinking about going to the U.S. border, they should really be discouraged from doing so. But at the same point, she's been heavily criticized for making this trip, yet not actually going to the U.S. border in her capacity as vice president. And so we're now hearing that Harris is planning on making this trip. Remember, she is the person who President Biden has assigned to deal with the influx in migrants that has been seen since Biden took the presidency.
Finally, Emily, President Biden in just a couple hours here is going to be boarding Air Force One, heading for 8 days in Europe. What are we expecting at the G7?
This will be the first time that President Biden meets some of his European counterparts, including Boris Johnson. We're really expecting Biden to sort of continue his push to make sure that the U.S. is again a strong player on the world stage after 4 years of Donald Trump sort of retreating a little bit from that. And so we're expecting to see discussions on COVID-19, on climate change. In addition to the G7 meeting, President Biden is also going to meet with Queen Elizabeth and then a big meeting on June 17th with Russian President Vladimir Putin, at which point the two expect to discuss things such as the hacking of major corporations as well as potential interference in the U.S. election.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you for joining us this morning. And you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, it is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Senate overwhelmingly approved a bill that aims to boost U.S. semiconductor production and the development of artificial intelligence and other technology in the face of growing international competition, most notably from China. NASA's Juno spacecraft has provided the first close-ups of Jupiter's largest moon in 2 decades. Juno zoomed past icy Ganymede, passing within 645 miles. The last time a spacecraft came that close was in 2000 when NASA's Galileo spacecraft swept past our solar system's biggest moon. Italian astronomer Galileo discovered Ganymede in 1610, along with Jupiter's three next biggest moons. And a group of University of California at Berkeley alumni exploring the use of blockchain technology to promote research were the winning bidders in a first-of-its-kind auction of digital data related to Nobel Prize-winning work on groundbreaking cancer treatments. Some 30 graduates formed a venture capital-like group known as a decentralized autonomous organization and outbid three anonymous bidders. Last-minute bidding drove the price up to 22 Ethereum, equal to a little more than $55,000 for the non-fungible token of the digitized documents. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Futures this morning, little changed. S&P futures up 2.5 points. Dow futures down 34. NASDAQ futures higher, up about 42. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.50%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1/3% or 26 cents. It's at $70.31 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.1%. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Lisa Abramowitz, and Romain Bostic. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.